Good morning, Seabed. Welcome to the Wake Up Call. It has been such an honor to travel through the Psalms on this wonderful journey. And the Psalms are so beautiful, so multifaceted. And it's just an honor to work through these Psalms with you on Sundays. And today we come to Psalm 62. Now, what is so powerful about this Psalm is that even though it's a relatively short Psalm, it deals with some of the kind of the classic tensions that are, you know, that have like grabbed the attention of theologians for centuries. And yet it's all resolved in a remarkable way in the act of worship. Hmm. This Psalm deals with the tension between faith and works. I'm going to have Julie say a word about that in a minute. It also deals with the tension between God's, you know, his sovereignty, his providence, right in the face of a world that's wicked. And so it deals with the problem of evil, it deals with faith and works. I mean, these are big issues the church discusses a lot, and yet they're all brought together in this psalm. And I also want to say something else with this psalm. It's quite interesting. When you think about the psalms, we think about them as like prayers addressed to God. You know, that's what we think of a psalm being. These are prayers that are sung to God or worshiped before God. But this one really doesn't in any place really directly address God. Of course, the whole psalm is done in the presence of God, but it does say something about prayer that, you know, there is a part of prayer we don't often talk about where we just sit in God's presence and we take time just to contemplate and reflect in the presence of God. And that's actually a very good practice, just sometimes just to sit in God's presence and think about the world. Think about the things that we're encountering and then reflect on them before him. And that's what this psalm does.
Yeah, you know, I love that because a lot of times our prayer can take the form of just quiet before God and listening and doing some time of just reflection in the presence of God, inviting his presence. And that's actually how this psalm begins. The psalm opens up with David, this is a psalm of David, with David saying, "My soul finds rest in God alone, and in silence I wait for him." I'm just sitting in silence and waiting to hear as I look to him. And David starts the whole psalm saying, salvation comes from him. I only look to him, and I'm waiting. And then out of that waiting, he comes up with these beautiful words. He is my fortress, my rock, my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken, because he's meditating really on these ways in which God is his firm foundation. And then as he goes on with the psalm, he comes back to that exact same two verses in verses 5 and 6, where he comes back again and says, okay, my soul. He's talking to his own soul, find rest in God alone. That's the place where my hope comes from. Wait for him in silence. Look only to him. And then he repeats, he is only my fortress, my rock, my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken. So it's almost like a refrain that he holds on to as he's sitting in the presence of God and just meditating in his presence. Now, as Tim said, there are a lot of tensions in the meantime, in between those refrains of him feeling like there's plots against him, and there's these tensions of God's sovereignty and our free will. At the end of the psalm, the last two verses, I love how he holds a tension together that we sometimes don't know how it's possible. And yet in worship, in this beautiful psalm, he holds them together. He says, there's two things that are both true. God is strong or sovereign, and God is loving or merciful. These two things are held together, God's sovereignty and his mercy. And then another tension is the last line of the psalm. As David has already said, you know, my only hope comes from God. I can't basically stand before him by myself. My only hope is in him. He's my fortress. He's my refuge. He's my stronghold. And yet he closes the whole psalm with this line that God rewards each one according as they have done. according to their works, we might say. And, you know, Jesus actually quotes this himself in Matthew 16, verse 27. Jesus says, the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. And so this tension is there, and David just lives with that tension in this psalm and just proclaims all of it is true. And in the wonder of who God is, it all coexists together.
That's right. We, by faith we work, and we work by faith.
Yeah, there you go.
I want to come back and circle back to the refrain that Julie mentioned in verses 1 and verse 5, because there's one phrase in there which I think is worth just highlighting. The phrase is, my soul waits in silence before God. This goes back to that idea of just sitting in silence. Think about how often do we do that, just to sit before we pray and start articulating things. My soul just sits in silence and waits for God. This psalm really is about waiting. And that's a very powerful thing, just to wait in God's presence. And David is waiting on God to bring him salvation. Now, at the time the psalm was written, the Jewish people had different ideas and expectations about what the Messiah would be. And some thought he would, you know, come in glory and destroy all their enemies and all of that. They didn't really know what to expect. And so even today, you wonder, well, what is God really like? Some emphasize his power and his might. Others want to emphasize his love and his grace. Still others want to argue that given the pain and the suffering of the world, God must be either all-powerful or all-loving. But can he be both? Those are questions that
David says yes.
Sometimes it's called the problem of evil. But, you know, these are things that have really grappled with the minds of people for many, many centuries. But this psalm declares, as Joy said, one thing God has spoken, two things I have heard, that you, O God, are strong, that is all powerful, and that you, O God, are loving. Verse 11 and 12. God is perfect in both his power and his love. Now, of course, eternity will fully reveal the way these great truths have all been fully met in the character and nature of God. We, of course, saw the greatest picture of it in the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross is where love and justice meet. The cross is where the power of the gospel meets the vulnerability and weakness of Christ dying upon the cross. It's all right there in Jesus Christ. All these tensions are fully met in Christ, the ultimate man of faith and the ultimate one who works in the presence of God. So in the gospel, Jesus Christ comes as God's mighty warrior to defeat the powers of sin and death and the pain of this world. Yet that victory comes in an inexplicable way. I don't think the Jews fully would have anticipated it, through the weakness and love of Jesus Christ as he, in meekness, born in a stable, served in the world, and suffered on the cross. And of course, someday there'll be the second advent when he'll return in the full manifestation of his power and majesty. And this psalm ends by declaring he will, as Julie pointed out at the end of time, he will reward each person according to what he has done. Verse 12, which is quoted in the New Testament. This is precisely what Jesus Christ will do at his coming. The scriptures say, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and he will reward each person according to what he has done. Matthew 16, 27. So at that time, the whole world will see him as he is, and they'll proclaim the works of God and ponder all that he has done.
Yeah, and you know, the ultimate thing that we need to do is to trust and to have faith and to walk and abide with Jesus. So this is such a tender psalm and a contemplative psalm. So we're going to choose a tune that's very tender and contemplative, Saint Columba, which is the tune you may know from the hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. So just sing along with us as we journey through this beautiful, beautiful psalm. My soul finds rest in God alone.
Salvation comes from him. My soul in silence waits for God. I only look to him. He only is my fortress rock and my salvation sure. I'll not be shaken, for he is my stronghold evermore. How long will you assail a man? Would all you throw him down and treat him like a leaning wall or fence that's tottering round? They plot for ill to thrust him down from his high place or worse. They joy in lies with their mouths bless, but in their hearts they curse. Find rest, my soul, in God alone, for my hope comes from him. In silence wait for God, my soul, and only look to him. He only is my fortress rock and my salvation sure. I'll not be shaken, for he is my stronghold evermore. For my salvation, honor to depend on God alone. He is my mighty rock of strength, my refuge, he alone. O people, trust in him always, at all times, all day long. Pour out your hearts before him, for God is our refuge strong. For low-born men are but a breath, and high-born men a lie. When on the balance they are weighed, there's only a breath's sigh. Trust not in greed, oppression, nor put hope in robbery. If wealth increase, don't set your heart upon its vanity. One thing God spoke, two things I've heard, that you, O God, are strong. And loving to Lord, you reward each one as they have done.
Wow, the life of faith, as David sits in the presence of God.
We thank God. We serve a God who is all-powerful and all-loving in infinite majesty.
Amen.
Have a blessed day.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.